things going on in our community. Last week we had some of the kids go to the But God presentation at the Baptist church. I guess many were saved there. I'm going to baptize one of those kids tonight who's out of Burns Flat. And he came up to me and said, I got saved last Wednesday. I'm ready to get baptized. And so I said, well, let's see if any parents or friends or, you know, want to come. And but we're going to do it tonight. And I think it's good. He says, you know, I need to take the next step. I said, you know, you've already been baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is an act of obedience that you get baptized here. And he's all ready and pumped up. And we pray that he keeps that fire alive. You know, we're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit that's within us. And if you're living with the Spirit, you got to keep on going while you can. And it's just, it's good to see some of these young folks, because a lot of these young folks are being led astray. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep speaking the truth. And I appreciate all these events, if you will. I don't know if that's right. It could be ministries, might be a better term, that are coming up that are attracting a lot of young people, and not just young people. I know a lot of adults went to both of these, and I've had good reports on both of them. And I think it's wonderful these are out there and available to us, because sometimes in a small church, and once you get out of Elk City and go towards Burns Flat and Dill City, we're all pretty much small churches there. And it's good that there's are these things that some of the larger churches can put together and bring people in for the whole body of Christ. And so I think we are blessed in this part of the country that, you know, those ministries make it out here, and they have touched lives. So I'm just kind of sing a praise to the folks who have sponsored them and brought them in, and the folks who have those ministries.
And Joe Red posted on Facebook, and this is concerning the firefighter stuff. Any donations would be appreciated. The Raiden Fire Department, they have an $18,000 fuel bill at the Hitching Post station at Durham. If you are able to help, please sow a seed into that. Okay. Let me get all my papers here, y'all.
Your papers are not in order.
I got my ducks. They may not all be in a line and in the pond, but I've got them. That's a plus. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center in Elk City, they are our sponsor for today. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, please reach out to Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. The Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre, Pastor Tammy Powerhouse Bailey. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
I got to turn the mics back up. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Pastor Tom Spence. His title is, Why Are You Looking for the Living Among the Dead? Back to you, sir.
All right, and I'll begin with that same question. Why are we looking for the living among the dead? We got trouble in the world. We knew we'd have trouble in the world. Jesus said we'd have trouble in the world. But the trouble should not be sucking all the energy out of us. It should not be taking all of our attention. Jesus said, yes, you'll have trouble in the world, but take heart, take courage. I've overcome the world. We're not supposed to be focused on all the things the world's trying to sell us. And yeah, they've got a lot of nice graphs and charts and things they can show us, and they can say, follow the science if it agrees with what we want you to do. And they can say all sorts of things that try to lead you in a direction. But our focus should be the Lord. Our focus should be our commission. That if we're getting to this time where things are, you know, about to happen real quickly, and we get to this end of the age, and most of us, you know, even despite every generation before us, oh yeah, Jesus coming back in my time, and then we get to now and we think, well, it could be my time when he comes back. Yeah, and it's a reality that's hitting us, and we don't need to be wasting our time looking at all the trouble in the world, looking at all the things the world's trying to talk us into, looking at all that junk. We need to be focused on leading people to Christ. We need to be focused on being known by our love. We need to not get sucked into all these little battles that will not lead to anywhere. It's arguing with people in the world. No, we need to just show people the truth. Show people the love of God that we know in Christ Jesus. And there's plenty of stuff that are good causes, you know, for Christian men and women to take on. But if we spend all of our time and energy on that, we're not spending it on fulfilling our commission. Yeah, there are battles to fight. There's places to stand your ground with what's going on in this country. There certainly are. And we want our children, I mean, selfishly, I would like my grandchildren to grow up in a country that was as free as the country I knew. When I was a kid, I could walk from my house down to the school and play baseball all day, or walk down to the little corner store that was in the neighborhood, and no one worried about me getting there or getting back, or trying to get me to change my sex or gender on the way. And it's just, you know, none of those things going on. There were some bad people in the world, but they just, you know, they didn't rule things. And I'd like my grandkids to be able to do that. They live 400 yards from where I do, and I'm still concerned, you know, if they're riding their bikes down, you know, is there somebody weird out there? And I don't want that. I want us to have a good. But if that's what's coming, if people will call good evil and evil good, and those days are here and the love of many have grown cold, then I want to make sure they're prepared. I want to make sure that I reach out as much as I can. I want to make sure that I share the good news, that I do my part in giving people an opportunity to respond to this free gift of salvation. And I don't want to get sucked into all the little battles all over the place. Yeah, they're out there. Some places you got to stand your ground. But that can't be what consumes us. You know, we should not be consumed by anything. We should be devoted to the calling that Christ gave us. And yeah, there's trouble in the world. But Jesus said, take heart, take courage. I've overcome the world. I think back to God talking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. And it's like, that's what we should be thinking. And yeah, there are battles to fight that, you know, we need to do because of things in this world we're trying to protect. But our main focus, most of our energy should be given to taking God's light and his love and his word of salvation to the word. So what am I saying? This Sunday morning, if you show up at a sunrise service or you show up at your 11 o'clock service and you go in there and you sing, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, don't go home and focus on the darkness. You know, we understand Christ had a victory over death. That's our victory. And we are victorious. And we don't need to be people who are out looking among the dead. Okay? Why do you look for the living among the dead? We're looking to Jesus. We're looking to the fellow believers who have life in Jesus. We're looking to share that message. We know the story. We're commissioned to tell the story. We're to be God's light, especially in these dark times. We're to be the salt, the God seasoning of the earth. Yeah, Jesus didn't say you're going to be the pepper of the planet. No, he said you're the salt of the earth, God seasoning of the earth. People taste God's goodness. And we know the story. So we need to live as people who know the story, remember and believe the promises of God, and who want to be known by our love. We need to stop looking for the living among the dead. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of battles we could be fighting. Some of them we probably need to fight. But most of our energy should be given to living the life that Jesus gave us, life we have in Him, life that we've been made right with God, and we should have the heart of God that desires none to perish and reach some of these lost people. And I'm going to tell you, it's a target-rich environment. There's a lot of people that, you know, when I was growing up in America, I didn't think that were that many people totally lost, but there are. And our job is to reach them. We should sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. But we should live that too. We should live knowing Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. That should mean more and more to us as we live out His promises, our commission, as we're known by His disciples, by our love. And I'm going to stop on that one right there. And I just want to touch on a couple other fun things that go with resurrection morning. I think the John's gospel, and the disciples are told, hey, Jesus is gone. He's not in the tomb. The stone's rolled away. He's not there. And Peter and John, it says the other disciple, but John wrote the gospel, and we're thinking he's talking about himself and the third person, or in an indistinct way. He's just not saying, you know, Peter and I think Peter and John were the ones racing to the tomb. And like I said before, John makes note of the fact that he beat him there. I beat Peter to the tomb. But John stopped at the entrance. Peter goes in. And then finally John goes in, and they see the burial clothes, but he's not there. Mm-hmm. And no angels to talk to him. No explanation. And so at the end of that little section in John's gospel, it says they went home, being so amazed that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Well, what do we do? Let's go home. It wasn't really home. It's home away from home in Jerusalem, where they were all staying. They went home. And I think about that, and I think about that, and I wonder, what's the message in that they went home? And I think the message might be, let's stop beating ourselves up. These two pillars of the church, Peter and John, did not yet understand what the Scripture said had to be done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. Now, when we sin, we should confess and get back in a race of faith. But we should not beat ourselves up because we didn't know exactly what we're supposed to do. Because sometimes we just don't know, or don't know yet. And we're promised that the Lord will direct our steps. Need to get some water or anything? Okay.
No, I'm sure she swallowed coffee down the wrong pipe.
Okay. Well, I'll try not to participate in that. But we have times. We read our Bible. We pray. We try to listen to the Holy Spirit. But we don't know what the next step is. We don't know what's next. And there's Peter and John. They're going to be pillars of the church in the days and years to come. And they'll be revered in our age. I mean, let's read John. Okay, let's look at the rock here and see what's going on. But in this moment, they didn't have it all figured out. Jesus had told them He had to rise from the dead. When they went in there and saw the burial clothes, they should have said, yeah, He's risen. Hallelujah, amen. Let's go tell everybody. But they hadn't yet figured it out. So what I would suggest to believers who are truly seeking God and His kingdom and His righteousness, cut yourself some slack. You may not know every step right at that moment. Sometimes we have to wait upon the Lord. And we're told that that's a good thing. Though a person will wait upon the Lord, you're going to be rewarded for waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes we just have to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. I don't know what's next, but Lord, I'm trusting that You're going to show me. And sometimes it's okay to just go home. Okay, guess what? Jesus found them all that night. Well, Thomas was out at the unemployment office, thought he had to get a new job. But, okay, that's a little eisegetical. I don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't there that night. But Jesus came to them, and He told them what would be next. And he first thing, because they were all scared and huddled up, He said, peace. I want you to have peace. Okay, you're all scared. You need to have peace. And then we're told that He breathed the Holy Spirit on them, which would be fully manifested come Pentecost. But He says, I'm going to tell you what to do. As the Father sent me, I'm going to send you into the world. So they didn't know while they were at Peter and John, didn't know with the team what to do. And I kind of laugh at that. Yeah, they went home. You know, these two amazing people that we study in the Bible didn't know what to do. They went home. But that's okay. I think we're supposed to learn from that we may not know at this exact moment what we have to do. I think back to Nehemiah, and the king asked him, what's going on? He said, well, Jerusalem's in in shambles. It's a mess. It needs to be rebuilt. It needs all these things. And so he was like, well, what do you want? And he stopped and he prayed and he waited for God to tell him his next step. And then he said, kind of predictably, I need to go there. And so he was equipped to go there. But sometimes we just need to say, it's okay. I don't know what to do at this exact moment. I'm going to keep studying my Bible. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit that lives within me. And I'm going to, when God says, okay, here's your next step, I'll let him direct my steps. But we as believers need to cut ourselves some slack every now and then. And don't put these expectations on us that we know every exact step at that very moment. Sometimes we get to wait upon the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying we should live a cavalier life. You know, whatever will be, and just kind of, no, we are purposeful people. We're focused on God, his kingdom, his righteousness. We want to be known as followers of Jesus by our love. But sometimes when we just don't see the next step, it's okay to be patient. It's okay to wait upon the Lord. It's okay just to take a breath and say, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready. I don't know what you want me to do yet, but I'm ready when you tell me, and let the Lord come to us in his time. And I've heard his time is pretty good, like better than. And the problem is sometimes we think, I've got to figure this out. I did my Bible study. Why don't I know what to do? And sometimes what to do is just wait upon the Lord. And so I look at John's account of, you know, Peter and John racing the two and all these things. And at the end of it, it's like, and they went home. It's like, this is the biggest day in history. Jesus rose from the dead, but they didn't understand everything yet, so they just went home. But Jesus found them. It's not like, well, if I make this mistake, Jesus has put me on the junior varsity. No, it's okay. Take a breath. Keep studying. Keep praying. Keep listening. But wait upon the Lord, and he will give you his next steps. And he gave Peter and John some pretty big next steps. But they didn't have it figured out at the moment. So my message for Resurrection Sunday, one of them is, cut yourself a little slack. You don't know everything, but God does. Wait upon him. Wait upon him. Doesn't mean get lazy. There's plenty of counsel in Proverbs about don't be lazy. Don't be a slacker, a sluggard. But you can wait upon the Lord. Lord, I'm ready. I don't know what you want me to do just yet, but I'm ready. So I think that's about where I'm going to wrap up. So believe it or not, y'all might even get a chance to talk.
Well, I wanted to throw something in here when you were talking about, you know, lots of times we don't know, but God knows. And one of my friends posted an excerpt from Scottie Scheffler's press conference from the 2022 Masters Champion Golf Game. And she said, you know, a lot of these things don't make the headlines. But Scottie said this, the reason why I play golf is because I'm trying to glorify God and all he's done in my life. So for me, my identity isn't a golf score, like Meredith, which is his wife, told me this morning. She said, if you win this golf tournament today or if you lose this golf tournament by 10, if you never win another golf tournament, I will still love you. You're still going to be the same person, and Jesus loves you. He said, and nothing changes. And all I'm trying to do is glorify God. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm in this position. So for me, it's not about the golf score. Every day when we go out there, we always pray for peace, because that's what I want to feel when I'm out there. I want to feel the peace and the presence of God and have fun. And that's our prayer every day. And all I really felt today was peace.
There are people out there speaking the truth in the middle of all this darkness.
Yeah, right.
So we should never despair. You know, God's won the battle, but we're still fighting our part.
Will you hand me that picture back there? Can you reach it?
I can. Can I pick it up with one hand? Yes. There we go.
I'm an artist, in case y'all didn't know. I've been doing stained glass art since I was 15, and I like artwork. And when I came back to Christ, I surrendered everything. And I asked the Lord to give me artwork that glorifies him and speaks to people. Share with y'all this piece. This cross is made of broken pieces of glass.
It's made out of broken glass. from pieces of stained glass art. I just couldn't throw it away. And there's a V for the victory that we get in Christ, because he paid our way home. This dark circle represents my life before, when I turned away from God. And Monica did it Monica's way. But it didn't turn out too well. And this side is now. If you're living without Jesus, you're not living. There is no life without Christ. It's just dead. Jesus, when he died on that cross, y'all, he sealed us. When he rose from the dead, and whenever we invite Jesus in our heart, and we ask him to forgive us and purify us, he then moves in and you become sealed in the body of Christ. I don't know where you're all at in life. I know where I was. I want to encourage you to call out to God. Invite Jesus to come live in your heart. In 2015, I made the decision. I was in the floor of my living room, curled up in a ball. I was ready to die. I didn't want to live anymore. And I cried out, God, help me. I can't do this anymore. My way is not the way. God doesn't care where you've been, where you're at. He wants you to come home. He wants that right relationship with you. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. If you do not have a home church, I encourage you to start looking. Jesus is the only hope you're going to have. I made the choice in 2015. And I recommitted to the Lord. And it took me 2 years. I didn't have rehab. I was an IV drug user. And it took me 2 years to get clean. And it's the best thing I could have ever done, is call on the name of Jesus. If you don't know what to do, reach out. Call out to Jesus. He'll move in. Ask him to move in, to take up residence. And he will move in, and he'll take you by the hand, and he'll walk you through, and he'll guide you and lead you to where he wants you to be. He wants a relationship with you. He desires that.
Amen.
I'm just in awe of my Jesus. Just in awe. Yesterday, I want to... That's okay. I can get it in a little bit. Yesterday, on my way to the studio, I usually turn at Canute Road and come up from Canute Road to I-40. Yesterday, I got to Canute Road And I heard this whisper, just go straight. And I did. And about the time I passed over I-40, I got a call from Miss Neva. She said, where you at? I need you. Miss Judy's car won't start. I need you to go. I need you. Can you go pick her up? And I said, I sure can, Miss Neva. I just passed over I-40 in Elk City. I'll turn around right now. Only God knew that. And if we just be still and quiet, put a bubble in it long enough, you will hear his sweet whisper. Come on, child. Just come home. I love you. Just come home. Come back to me. Just be still and quiet long enough. Forget the chaos going on. And just shh for a moment and say, I'm listening, Father. I'm listening. And just listen for that soft whisper, that sweet, loving whisper.
You know, it's okay to sing I Did It My Way, as long as that's the first part of the story.
Come on.
And then you can sing I Did It God's Way.
Yeah. It's the sweetest, I'm telling you. Would you pray to end this today?
Yep. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, always in praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, we give you thanks for this broadcast that it reaches out, and it reaches out not only in this moment, but it's accessible at so many other moments. And Lord, we ask that it produce good fruit, that your word that's been shared today not return empty, Lord, that it will do its work and will reach so many. And the many it reaches will go out and share with others and be your witnesses wherever they are and in the next town over and wherever you send them, Lord, that we may bring so many to you. Lord, we thank you for Neva, for Monica's testimony. We thank you for Neva and Monica keeping this ministry going. And Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things going on in this world to share your love, your good news, your message. Lord, bless those who are doing that in the midst of all the darkness around us. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all. And you know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Neva Pyatt, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Tom Spence. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.